Hello, .NET readers, members, and listeners. My name is John Moore, and this is the ProWrestling.NET All Access audio review for the Impact Wrestling show that aired December 7th, 2017 on Pop TV. After the commercial break for non-members, I'll be going over my full audio review for the Impact episode that featured a match between Pete Williams and Johnny Impact versus Chris Adonis and Eli Drake. Okay, we're back. You get to hear me for the third day in a row. Some scheduling things at .NET. Jason, of course, is busy doing the roster evaluation. I'll go more into that. Why it'll be an important time to be. Why it's an important time to be a .NET member. But before that, I'll give my initial thoughts on this episode of Impact. It was fine. There wasn't anything drastically wrong, especially compared to a lot of episodes we've seen in 2017. The problem still is, in 2017, is it seems like our standards have dropped as to what a good Impact wrestling show is. It also hurts that 2016 was one of their best years that they ever had, and moving away from the Lagana and Corgan creative team, we had some good episodes, some good initial storylines, but just like old TNA, they would always lead to bad payoffs, quick payoffs, or just months and months of terrible television. That's the story of TNA as a whole. And even though they're Impact Wrestling, they became GFW and then back to Impact Wrestling again. They're still what used to be known as the TNA stank, and not as a like the talents having that stank. This company has a stank because they always seem to resort to old ways. This episode didn't really exhibit a lot of those old ways, so that was encouraging. But there's not a lot on this show to get excited of, and I'll get into that into my actual audio review. If you would like to follow along with me, you can check out my written review, which is posted on the ProWrestling.net main site. Now, and the reason why you would use my written review is because I use that review as an outline and as notes, so you can as well. Now, without further ado, let's get into the audio review. So, right after the Impact Wrestling signature, we got an Alberto El Patron promo. He said Eli Drake is a paper champion several times. He didn't just say it once, he repeated himself. El Patron said he's the pride of Mexico. He said Drake cost him his match against Johnny Impact, and he called Drake a perro because that's what he does to everyone. He said he's going to find and destroy Drake and get his revenge. He then randomly said C, 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 like he's copying Daniel Bryan. And after that promo, we got the opening teaser, which had quick snippets of quotes from several wrestlers we were going to see later on in the show. So, yeah, going back to the El Patron promo. It's tough to really be excited for the guy, and it's not. And take his personal issues aside. Try not to even think of them. Just imagine none of that happened. His promos have been just dragged out rants for months now. Ever since he won the GFW Global Championship, he just keeps rambling on and on, contradicts himself in some promos. Like I remember one time he says, "Conan, I always respected you," and then 2 seconds later he disrespects him. And that promo at Bound for Glory where he just kept going left and right, feuding with Jeremy Borash for random reasons, cutting his anti-WWE promo, just replacing WWE with Impact Wrestling. If Alberto. One thing I think he should do, for one, I would be first to defend the guy, saying that this guy, if when he's a heel, he can be one of the most dastardly heels in pro wrestling. And when he's a babyface, he can be extremely affable, which he proved in his runs in Ring of Honor and Lucha Underground. But right now, he's a ranting mess, and it doesn't hurt, or it doesn't help, that there's a lot of personal. Just a cloud of negativity around him that also hurts your perspective. So you just even notice the bad stuff even further. Why can't he just go back to the rich and entitled heel who has Ricardo Rodriguez and expensive rental cars? They're wasting their time with Alberto El Patron and building the whole show around him. But I shouldn't be wasting my entire podcast ranting about him too. He's not beneficial, and it doesn't help that in these weird verbal sparring matches, he has to compete with Johnny Impact, who cut one of the worst promos of 2017 in all of pro wrestling last week with that weird Slamtown promo that he does. And it's not just the Slamtown part, but he also adds that corny Slamtown signature, which was in Lucha Underground what was supposed to draw him heat. And now it's giving him go away heat. I compared, and just going back to El Patron, and one comparison I made on my written review, he's just a Impact version of Dolph Ziggler, where he's kind of out there doing meta promos that are just ranty. And look where Dolph Ziggler is. Maybe Dolph Ziggler will be in Impact Wrestling someday, and which I think would be totally beneficial because he needs a different set of scenery. But anyway, I'm going off tangent. We were taken to the Canadian Impact Zone, and the Cult of Lee guys made their entrance. So the first match of the night was Caleb Connolly, who had Trevor Lee with him, versus Taiji Ishimori. A pretty cool X Division match. Taiji Ishimori defeated Caleb Connolly via pinfall in 6 minutes and 10 seconds by hitting a reverse TKO. Oh, no, sorry. He reversed a TKO into a weird-looking DDT that the announcers had to cover for, and they did a solid job of doing that. And then Ishimori hit his 450 splash for the victory. This has been a problem in a few Ishimori matches where the 99% of the match is great. It's just always the finish having a clunky spot. But clunky finishes aside, and I thought the announcers covered it well, it was a really good match. I like what they're doing here with the X Division guys. They're not rushing towards a Taiji Ishimori versus Trevor Lee match. If this were some creative teams, we would have got that match 2 weeks ago after the initial run-in. But it looks like they're trying to tell a story with Taiji Ishimori and him having to go through hurdles to get to Trevor Lee. And they set it up with that weird random tag team match because, which was dumb to begin with, but at least they're trying to make a chicken salad out of it, trying to make the best out of it. But the only downside I see with this entire story is the same problem that they had with Trevor Lee storylines. Not only his entire career in Impact Wrestling, but these real issues seem to surface every time he's X Division champion. He's a three-time X Division champion, and every time he's the X Division champion, they actually seem to showcase him less. And what I mean by that is they're not showcasing his in-ring ability, which when you watch him at APWG or other independent wrestling promotions throughout the world, he has Daniel Bryan, Eddie Edwards, Davey Richards type of wrestling, fighting, just a, like a moveset and fighting style, and he's taken seriously as a wrestler. But in Impact Wrestling, they treat him as a goofy, dumb hillbilly type who does quirky comedy, which, for one, is disrespectful, and two, it like and what heat or laughs do you get out of that? They have Joseph Park, who provides a lot of great comedy. They can bring back Grado, which I mean, interesting. Yeah, that Mountie really did take him away, I guess. We'll probably see him back in a couple weeks if he with Chandler Park or something. But they have comedy characters, but they want their X Division champion to be super duper comedy too. They should be taking the approach that they did with Low-Ki when he was the heel champion and treating him like a serious force that even the heavyweights fear. But I don't know why they want to go with the ha-ha comedy with Trevor Lee and put their X Division championship in that spot. Trevor Lee has the ability to be anything but the weird comedy, comic relief to with a joke that isn't even that funny. Like, why is Trevor Lee a cult leader? And I'll just move on from there. It's I talked myself into how it was a good match and then disappointed in their whole the whole Impact Wrestling treatment of Trevor Lee for years. We after the break, yes, we were taken to the Knockouts tournament match. This is not really a tournament. NXT has done the exact same thing last couple of times. They had a title relinquish, not really a title relinquish, but a injury that had to end something. They had a NXT championship qualifying match to have to the championship match, and they also have Kurt Angle did it on Raw with the four-way for the Cruiserweight Championship. These are just qualifying matches for a championship match. And it's not really a tournament. They could have benefited from a tournament because this they're burning essentially burning through all of their storyline potential in a instant. They could have dragged this putting on a Knockouts title on a woman leading into next year, like they did the last couple of years with their world title. Instead, they want to get the belt on someone, I guess. The next match of the night was Siena versus Rosemary versus Allie. And Rosemary defeated Allie and Siena via pinfall in 6 minutes and 14 seconds to earn a spot in the Knockouts Championship match. And the match was fine. Not as technically sound as the last one we've got between Casey Smedley, Madison Rayne, and Laurel Van Ness. But this had more brawling in it. Siena has never really clicked in the ring with, like, what is she? And I feel like that they're treating her like a big deal, but she never delivers on being a big deal. And it was clunky, but at least Allie is still trying to, at least at times, act like she is the most inexperienced wrestler in this match. But the right person went over. We should get a really good match between Laurel Van Ness and Rosemary, but as I mentioned, they could have got a couple of good pairings. You could have had Rosemary versus Casey Smenelli, Allie versus Red Madison Rayne, Siena versus Laurel Van Ness, and then really do the brackets somehow, get two more women in. And yeah, it's just they really want to get the belt on someone. And if you know, and yeah, this is not a spoiler. There are reports out there that Laurel Van Ness has asked for her release. I'm not going to go into the result of the next match, but either if Laura wins or loses and they build towards the finals, whatever, there is still going to be a storyline problem. And the fact that they're losing a very talented female wrestler. But yeah, and they could have easily did some interchanging if they dragged this out into next year. But that's it. They showed a teaser, like heading into the break for OVE. They just had their handy cam and did the thumbs up thing. After the commercial break, we were taken to Ohio versus Everything, all three members. That's Sami Callihan, Jake, and Dave Chris, the Chris brothers. And this was a cheap heat promo. So you had Sami Callihan just singing the Oh Canada song, and then call it bull crap. He called Mexico, LAX, and Lucha Libre bull crap. He said Canada and Mexico are all the same bull crap. Yeah, so he's just cutting cheap heat promo, and which is was doing a good job rallying up the crowd. He called Ottawa the a-hole of Canada, except he used the curse word for it. But this all led to what something that was strange. We got the debut of TDT tomorrow. I don't know what TDT stands for. They didn't tell us. The guys were named Dubois and Saint Jacques. I couldn't tell which one was which. I was taking notes at the same time, but they didn't really make clear who was who. The one guy was talking about defending Canada, and the other guy cut a French promo. And because they're in Canada, of course, people popped. To be honest, I grew up in SoCal and took Spanish classes, so I can't help you guys with what he said in French. And Sammy Callahan, I guess, agreed because he cut him off and yelled that when you're in my ring, you have to speak American. So, yeah, that was another heel cheap heat promo, but it got a chuckle. The TD guys then said they sort of forgot their manners and they started brawling. TDT was dominating the Chris brothers, and Sammy Callahan ran into the ring with a kendo stick. Eventually, you heard LAX gunshots blare, and LAX ran in to make the save for the TDT guys. You had Conan about to hit one of the TDT, or no, sorry, hit Sammy Callahan with a kendo stick, and as proper booking shows, Mick Sammy should have ducked away and not give a payoff to this thing. But in a scary moment, the kendo stick slipped out of the hand of Conan and right into the body of one of the guys in the audience. So, ouch. And not to really blame Conan, it wasn't his fault. Accidents happen, and sadly, this accident had to hit a poor guy in the crowd with a kendo stick from Conan. The guy looked fine afterwards, so I guess there was no real harm done. Let's see. Jeremy Borash did tell us that Sammy Callahan goes by the name Death Machine, and that he also wrestles for New Japan. So they're giving the Impact viewers more reason to care about Sammy Callahan, at which they should. He's the guy adding the cool factor to the OVE act. I liked how the Chris brothers are also differentiating their looks a bit. Conan, because you had Barash say they were polar opposites, but they looked the same, and Conan exposed it in his promo, saying they looked like a couple of like drug addicts, meth addicts, like with tattoos and stuff. Now they're differentiating their look. You have Dave Christ looking more like the punk rock disheveled guy, and Jake Chris comes out in a dress suit, so he's the more pulp, like proper, elegant guy. So you were seeing the polar opposites, and they're not c cutting those terrible promos that they were when they were cutting promos. It was Dave Chris essentially ending every sentence was because Ohio versus everything. Sammy Callahan ended this promo by saying because Ohio versus everything, but he added a little spice to it, even though I still don't get why Ohio is versus everything. And when you're watching it from the United States, especially, and he's like bashing Canada and going, "Go Ohio," okay, yeah, I don't really like it, but I don't really hate it. It's like, okay, these guys just don't like Canada and they're from Ohio. Go Cavaliers, whatever. LAX still comes off as very cool though, and. This LAX versus OVE, mostly because of the match quality between the two teams and the cool Lucha Underground segments that we get from Conan in the LAX clubhouse. OVE, they're getting, and because Sammy Callahan was at, they're getting the Lucha Underground cinematic treatment too. This feels like a good feud pulled straight out of Lucha Underground, especially with Jeremiah Crane and Conan being the main characters in this feud. So, good for them there. And this is the most intriguing and well-built feud in Impact Wrestling right now. Everything else tends to have a little flaw with it. Whereas Sammy Callahan was the remedy for what was a pretty one-sided and this weird feud because OVE has just been a couple of dorks. And they have someone who doesn't get shredded by Conan because Conan's so good on the microphone. After that segment, and before I go into the next segment, I will go into why you should become a .NET member. Of course, I'm covering this audio because we're in a special season at .NET. So it costs $7.50 to become a member. But the reason why you should all get hyped to become a member at this moment is this is roster evaluation season. It's where in ProWrestling.net. Jason Powell and the staffers, which include Will Pruitt, Jake Barnett, Hayden Gleed, and I, we go over all the major pro wrestling rosters in pro wrestling. So far, Hayden Gleed and Jason covered the Ring of Honor roster, and Jake Barnett and Jason Powell covered the what did they cover? The SmackDown roster. Will Pruitt and Jason recorded yesterday and are recording today the Raw roster, which should be a monster because Raw got the 3 draft picks when SmackDown got the 2 that one time, and they get the Cruiserweight division and all that. So let's see. Let's see if they even get done today. They might have to drag this out to Monday, but who knows? But these have been our most well-received the specialty podcast on ProWrestling.net. Also note that we come out with a audio review for every major wrestling show every single day, Monday through Friday. And one of the days we don't have wrestling shows, we fill it in with some discussion or have a .NET Weekly episode that go over the entire week of news in pro wrestling. So I mentioned it's $7.50 a month, and there's way more that I haven't mentioned, but I was trying to focus on the roster evaluation season we're doing right now. We'll also come out with a Impact Wrestling one when we actually find out what their roster is. To be honest, it might take till January, February, not even January, February or March. We know it, the new talent that's coming in. We'll be doing the NXT as soon as possible, either in the next couple weeks or in January, just depending on my schedule and if it matches up with Jason, because NXT does have a pretty extensive roster at the moment. Like I said, $7.50. If you do end up liking what you get with us and I want to convert your membership to the annual option, you can bring down your monthly price to an average of $5.50 a month. So try us out. And especially right now with the roster evaluations, you can also go back and listen to past roster evaluations to see just the whole time capsule of what each of those pro wrestling rosters used to be at the beginning of those years. So, try us out. And thank you so much for being just .NET readers, listeners, and members, because I know members are listening to this too. Now back to the show. Now let's get back into the audio review. And it was time for the Pluto TV Rewind of the Week. We saw a clip from a Low-Ki versus Christopher Daniels match. And Mike Tenay actually put out that, in that little clip, he said, "This is Low-Ki just returned to the company," and he now calls himself Senshi because every time Low-Ki comes back, he has some weird gimmick change. One time he came in back with a weird jumpsuit, and yeah, Low-Ki. It's funny. It's Low-Ki in Impact Wrestling. He always seems to quit and or leave Impact Wrestling every 3 years, and then comes back in 3 years. It's been the pattern of Low-Ki for his entire career. He even had a 3 or 4 year stint in WWE, and then right after that came back to TNA. That's what I thought. That was a funny thing to showcase. We were taken backstage where Allie ran into Gail Kim. Allie was acting like her usual self, where she was disappointing. She was disappointed in disappointing Gail Kim, but of course Gail Kim was being inspiring and saying, "This is your time," and she fired up Allie, which it was fine. It played into the Allie character because she's innocent and wants to make Mama Gail proud, I guess. But it was fine. Moving along, well, we had Jeremy Borash told us we were going to see a video of KM trying to impress American Top Team. And he told a cameraman to follow him into the gym. So I like them explaining the purpose of the camera there. And you had KM just beating up random dudes who were working out. And one thing I didn't note is because they were like when Impact had that string of terrible television where they'd run out of matches, they would show up how terrible Moose was every week. Because when Moose invaded a gym, he just gets end up beating up. He gets beaten up by a bunch of weak MMA punches. KM right here really knows how to take down a gym. So there's that. But I also like that they're going back to the KM vignettes. And I like that these are a lot more serious because they had something there with the comedy Cam skits. They just ended up making him a Back to the Future reference and a comedy guy, a bully who loses. He's Biff Tannen, the bully who's always supposed to lose in the Back to the Future movies. But now it seems like they're trying to give him an edge. He's acting like a petulant child, but that's by design. And I like that he's now a bully who's actually getting over on people. So I'm intrigued to see where this goes. I don't like the fact that America's Top Team is dragging down Lashley, who was a really good promo and their most credible wrestler, and now Lashley is relegated to being a stooge. Even if he ends up having a storyline that breaks him away from America Top Team, is like, why did we have to bring down Lashley a couple of pegs to get here? So, as Josh Matthews is reiterating every week now, so Dan Lambert can live fantasy pro wrestling camp. I get that's the storyline, but what's the end game and profit from it? But the profit, at least for KM, is that they're finally taking him seriously, and this guy does have good chops on the microphone and as a character. He plays the bully character very well. He kept yelling in the screen, "Is that enough, guys? Is that enough, American Top Team?" So yeah, he wants to make Dan Lambert proud. He's kind of like Ellie in that way. But moving on, we had our LAX Clubhouse Cinematic, and these are usually just them like shooting the breeze in their clubhouse. You had Conan was setting up a sit down between him and Sami Callihan next week, so. That's something I'm looking like really forward to because of how great Conan has been on the microphone since he returned to Impact Wrestling. Also, since he was in Lucha Underground, I thought he showed this talent at, like from away from the ring and just as a straight up manager. And Sami Callihan has showed the same in Lucha Underground. Coincidentally, I'm not trying to reference Lucha Underground too much. But that's where a lot of these wrestlers that who are doing well, I'm saying, have established themselves. And I like that also Sami Callihan has adopted more of his Lucha Underground look as opposed to what he used to wear on the indie scenes or on what he wore in NXT, which was he looked like a troll doll with a singlet. I'm looking forward and to see how these two strong promos can go against each other because Conan can't easily shred. As Sami Callihan as easily as he has the other members of OVE. We saw a really good promo exchange between Jim Cornette and Conan earlier in the year, so which is why I'm looking forward to this one. We had Eli Drake and Chris Adonis backstage, and Chris Masters was the one who decided to deliver the promo. He told us their name was DNA because Drake and Adonis, and. Yeah, long story short, it was just they were calling out Petey Williams and Johnny Impact, their opponents for tonight. The next match was the Grand Championship match between Ethan Carter III and Reborn Matt Sydal in this weird feud that is weird. It's weird. Like Ethan Carter III goaded Matt Sydal into this match. Like, why? I don't know if he's trying to be heelish or not. It's not. He's trying to get an opponent. Maybe he just doesn't like wrestling Fala Ba every week, and next week he was in fear that he would have to face Mario Bocara. But this it told a interesting story, and in a weird decision, they made Fala Ba one of the judges, which makes no sense. Because he just lost a match to Ethan Carter, so when you think of it just from a like management perspective, why would they put a person who has all the reason to be biased against their championship in a decision-making role? Very weird. I also find it weird sometimes that when, say, a heel does something illegal in a Grand Championship match. Why the judges don't override the referee because the whole point of having judges at ringside is to make these matches more pure. It's like they This the Ring of Honor used to have the Pure Championship back in the day, but it's to add a second layer of officiating. Very weird. But the winner of the match, there was no winner. The match ended in a draw. They traded the first two rounds, and the last round was pretty even. They didn't tell us the score into the end of the round, and once we got there, the scoring got weird. Because this Impact regime doesn't really know how to book an a pseudo MMA match, and this whole pseudo MMA gimmick was never that great to begin with. You had EC3 retaining in the end, and EC3 continuing to taunt Matt Sydal by calling him a choke artist. Matt Sydal's a choke artist, but what? Who cares? A lot of people choke. It's fine. And this feud doesn't really have any steam behind it. EC3, who had who like up there with Drew Galloway and Matt Hardy, had the most steam in the company, and they just deflated him and Lashley too. Instead, we got Johnny Impact and Alberto El Patron in the main event, two WWE rejects as they're coming off as. And Johnny Impact and El Patron are very talented, but the way that they're being showcased as the most important thing in the world just makes it look like those old TNA ways of showcasing guys who used to be famous or never really made it in WWE. El Patron made it, but then immensely regressed himself by the end parts of both of his runs. We were shown a GWN match from the past. It was Bobby Roode versus James Storm in the Battle of Beer Money. King Mo was the guest enforcer. And this wasn't. The match looked like it would have been exciting, but what they decided to showcase, so they would do constant cuts throughout, and they decided to showcase this various rapid fire trash can shots, a bunch of weird shots to the head. And I'm like, really? That's what they decided to showcase? They could have got away with like showing everything else, avoiding the chin locks and showing some of the highlights. Not show the finish, because now you're like, oh, I saw it. That match was kind of disgusting. And it doesn't really give you a reason to watch the Global Wrestling Network. In fact, it might be a turnoff. I don't know why they decided to focus on the head trauma, especially when they were recently doing a storyline of James Storm's concussions. Very weird. Only in TNA. That's a quote I like to use to decipher bad things in pro wrestling, because TNA is usually synonymous with like bad, terrible wrestling. After the commercial break, we had another Park and Park parody commercial. You can call the phone number, and Joseph Park would talk about his grandma and stuff. This is all their vignettes to introduce Ethan Page, who's playing the role of Chandler Park. I forget if his cousin, nephew, he's a Park. So, and I like these cinematics. It's so interesting. Abyss was so tired and boring, and when you watch him in the ring, he's just lumbering around. And his promos were all lumber. That's what I explained about his look. You could apply the same mundaneness to his promos. Joseph Park is there. He's their comedy MVP, and been so. There's LAX and OVE, and I forget to give credits to Joseph Park every week. That guy does a great job too, making just bringing some life and light to the show, a show that can be very disappointing to watch sometimes. So, good with, and I'm glad that he's not Abyss, because Joseph Park have been a very solid act on Impact Wrestling. He might be one of their MVPs, or at least Dark Horse MVPs of the year. The next match of the night was Dan Lambert and Bobby Lashley versus Moose and James Storm. And yes, they do bill him as Dan Lambert and Bobby Lashley. Because Bobby Lashley used to be important, now he's just a stooge. And like I said, even if they're building to him breaking away, it's not. They're gonna make him babyface, And when he was such a great heel and such a strong heel promo, ugh, Bobby Lashley should be in much more. And he can draw, he's can be that big money match draw guy instead. Yeah, as Josh Matthews points out, and Dan Lambert's trying to play fantasy pro wrestler. And the winners were Dan Lambert and Bobby Lashley, because Lashley hit the spear on James Storm, and then Dan Lambert wanted to take the pin, which that's the finish that should have happened. But as I mentioned, why is Bobby Lashley the guy like laying the carpet for Dan Lambert? This should be someone like KM or even King Mo if they wanted to do the MMA thing. But the players who were here did their parts correctly. It's just I feel like they should be doing a lot more with Lashley. Moving along. It was time for a backstage interview, and it was Johnny Impact and Petey Williams interviewed this time, and I was like, oh no, it's a Johnny Impact interview. It was fine. Petey Williams is not a bad promo. He doesn't do anything really special and was rah-rah Canada. I call him Captain Canada because that's essentially what he is. And Johnny Impact was not bad. He wasn't great, but he was not bad. It was compared to last week's promo, and he did not mention Slamtown. So there we go. After the, we're tickets to commercial, and we had like a ad in the like a ad vignette with music behind it, hyping up the Laurel Van Ness versus Rosemary match. See, this is one of the things they could have built to with a tournament finals. They billed it as the Demon Assassin versus the Lunatic Lush. So look forward to that next week. We're gonna get a new Knockouts champion, and I like the match. It's going to be a very good and interesting brawl between two talented wrestlers. Our main event match of the night was Eli Drake and Chris Adonis versus Petey Williams and Johnny Impact. Pretty much standard tag team fare here, and the babyfaces go over on Chris Adonis. You had Petey Williams calling for the Canadian Destroyer, but he always does that thing over his head, which allowed him to get locked by the Master Lock. And then the reason I call it the Master Lock is he calls it the Master Lock, and it's weird that Chris Adonis always announces it. He's like, Master Lock, every time he does it. Johnny Impact broke up the Master Lock and hit Starship Pain on Adonis for the victory. So they didn't get to Eli Drake. Standard tag team match, I like that they're trying to just keep some heat behind the babyface. And it protected Eli Drake. The downside I see is Eli Drake is presented as a weak tag team wrestler when he should be presented as their world champion. Impact hasn't figured out in this creative regime to present their wrestlers as credible champions. Even Mike Bennett, who was the fluky heel last year, still had credible wins, including being the only person to get a pinfall victory over Ethan Carter III. In Impact Wrestling, we just need a bunch of chair shots to the head, run-ins, and ref bumps. We didn't get any tonight, but we probably will sooner or later when there's an important match. I don't like that they're doing Chris Adonis and Eli Drake as a tag team act when Eli Drake should be the credible world champion. I say it, the most credible champion on the show, the singles champion, is Eddie Edwards, who has great matches when he defends the GHC Heavyweight Championship and is taken seriously. So, as I mentioned, it was a fine Impact Wrestling episode. It was better than most we've seen in the past. But it's still nothing to be excited about. If I had to pick up a few things, the only thing really to be excited, the park, park, park was fine, but you could probably catch it on YouTube, is the LAX and OVE stuff, because of the anticipation for that. The women's match was fine, but not great. Last week's was better. But I am looking forward, and I'm sure a lot of other people are, in the Laurel Van Ness versus Rosemary match, to see who comes out as champion and what kind of match those two can produce. So with that said, I'm going to leave you guys with that. Make sure to, if you're not a member, to become a .NET member so you can see and listen to, sorry, the roster evaluations that we're doing. Those are extremely strong, and you get a nice take a scouting report, if you will, of all the major wrestlers and all the major wrestling promotions. And I'll leave you with that. Have a nice one. I'll be back next week with my usual audios. And you should also hear Jason Powell back next week with his audio review of the Impact Wrestling show for next week. Have a nice one. And since it's holiday season, happy holidays when we get there. Bye-bye.